ask you at the Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4, which is that Luke's account of the, what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's not a prayer that we should be reciting. It's not wrong to recite it. It's just that that was not Jesus' intention in giving it. It is actually includes principles of prayer. And those principles we went over as worship, God's will, our needs, getting forgiveness from God, giving forgiveness to others, involves our relationship with others, and then encourages us to have godly living. So that when we pray, those elements, not all of them in every prayer, but those are the elements that should be involved in praying that we do for others. And so tonight we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 5 to 10. Luke 11, verse 5 to 10. I brought this along last week and didn't use it, and I have it along tonight and was not going to use it, but I'm going to, I'd like to say I believe the Lord had had me do it, but, I haven't had any inkling that way. It's just I can't forget it. Can't just put it aside. It's the title on it is William's Sermon. Reverend John Minder, he was a college dean. He was a big man. He had red hair, and he was much concerned for his students. But he had his hands full with one student named William. And on the day William arrived, he took out a big scout knife, played around with it, and took off running all over the adjacent golf course like an overgrown schoolboy. And shortly thereafter, he and his roommates went canoeing in their best clothes on a Sunday afternoon. William stood up in the canoe, raised his oar, and said, "I see an Indian." Bang! He leaned backward, and both boys fell into the water. William wrestled under the beds, knocked down bullies, wore bright bow ties, and liked to charm the girls. Well, Dean Minder had endless patience, sparkling eyes, and he knew potential when he saw it. On Easter Sunday in 1937, he took William with him to an evening service at a small Baptist church in a nearby town to the college. And Minder was to fill in for the church's part-time pastor, who also doubled as an interior decorator. But Minder had no intention of preaching that evening. On the way there, he informed William, "You're preaching tonight." William said, "No, sir." He was horrified. "I've never preached before." "Well," replied Dean Minder, "you're preaching tonight. When you run out, I'll take over." As it happened, William had secretly been practicing four messages that he had taken from a book of sermons by the Baptist preacher Lee Scarborough. Now he frantically tried to remember them. The men arrived at the small clapboard church, finding it surrounded with men with hunting dogs. The hunters and the ranchers and their families went inside for worship. And so that made a group of 25 or 30 people. The song leader led the group in a series of fast-paced hymns, pausing occasionally to spit tobacco juice into the boiler. This is redneck country, okay? When the time came for the sermon, William rose, looked at the crowd, and grew so nervous that literally his knees knocked, his face glistened with sweat, And he preached all four sermons as he could remember them in 8 minutes. And then collapsed into his seat. Such was the beginning of the preaching ministry of William Franklin Graham, better known as Billy. Now, we don't endorse a lot of the compromise that he later got into, but, you know...
It's a good start.
Yes, we, you know, we've had different ones fill the pulpit, and the first time they do so, they're very nervous, but little by little, you can see progress, you see, and... I just found that very, very interesting because it involves the name of a person that everybody knows.
That's right.
The same thing could be true of John Schmidt, but most people would say, who's John Schmidt? And so the story has more impact when it's somebody that we know. All right, Luke chapter 11, verse 5, where Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend... and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door's shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, one of the other gospels account of this says that the guy just keeps knocking on the door. The picture I get is pounding on the door. Okay? I mean, maybe he's knocking with his fist, but if he's doing so, it isn't. Okay? And I'm not going to do the way I picture it to be. Okay? And so this is persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. And that's something that's good and it's right. You can never pester God when you're asking for something. Okay? And in this case, the man was asking not for himself, but on behalf of his friend who was traveling, stopped unexpectedly. And we are blessed, aren't we? He didn't have anything to feed him. He went to his friend and he says, can you give me 3 loaves? You know, he didn't say 3 loaves and some vegetables and something to drink and so on. He just said, can you give me 3 loaves? And so he was persistent in prayer. And in verse 8, it says, I say unto you, though he will not rise, and give him, because he is his friend, okay? Now, because he will not rise and give him, then there's a comma. Because he is his friend. All right, so here you got a guy knocking on the door. Fellas up here sleeping. Over there sleeping. I don't know, he's in the house sleeping. And knocking on the door, he will not rise. But because this fellow's a friend, he keeps knocking. And you think, well, good night, if I did that, they're liable to chase me out. They'll meet me with a shotgun. Well, they didn't have shotguns back then anyway, so. But the need was great enough that he wasn't concerned with what the man in the house was going to think.
That's right.
Because he knew what he needed. Listen, God knows what we need. Right now, presently, there are several persistent prayer requests. Who can tell me one of the persistent prayer requests?
Vadis's
for their son. If John's not here to do it, Sharon does it.
Yep.
What's another one of the persistent requests?
My grandpa.
Okay, prayer for his grandpa.
Stephen's salvation.
Stephen and his salvation. Yes.
Cat.
Right. Trevor and his cat and
Letty.
Now, how much does Trevor really remember little Letty? Probably not much. But there was enough there. And he knows enough that Eddie needs something. And I'm thinking when they left, that left a mark on Trevor. And then if Trevor heard about him being taken away from mom and dad and going into foster care, that left enough of a mark too, didn't it? And so there's some requests that you can count on hearing. Persistent in prayer. As a matter of fact, verse 8 goes on and it says, because he is his friend, comma, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The guy in the house doesn't really want to get up. He's tucked in for the night. His kids are in bed with him. Now, what'd you think when you read that or first heard that? Huh? His kids are in bed with him. What's the guy, a pervert? Listen, friends, things were different.
Yes, sir.
Than what we're accustomed to. My father-in-law, I think there were five boys. They all slept in one bed. The youngest one usually got it down at the foot end. And that doesn't only mean the bottom end of the bed. It meant where all the feet were. Okay. And so, they're all in for the night. I mean, now listen, he didn't just get up. I'm assuming it's dark, okay? You say, well, why do you assume that? Because I wanted to. I'm telling the story, okay?
Yeah.
I assume it's dark. So he doesn't just get up and go throw a light switch on. He would have had to get at least a candle. I don't imagine this is more than a two-room house. But even if it's just one room, he'd have had to stumble around in the dark to find those loaves of bread. But he got up. Why? Because of the importunity. Now, I don't know about you. You've heard me say this frequently. That's a good word, but it's just not one that I use every day.
Yeah.
Today, when I was talking with Pat, I didn't say, well, you know, that guy is really his importunity is really something. It's just not a word we use. It's a good word. There's a lot of good words that we don't use. And so I did what anybody has to do that doesn't know what a big word is, okay? You go to the dictionary. And what I found, now, you know, you could really research the word in other books to be sure, but my purpose for tonight, it was sufficient for me to find out that it means persistent. That's why the heading for these verses 5 through 10 is persistence. incessant. Boy, that's a little more aggressive word, isn't it, than persistent? Somebody that's incessant. Man, that guy just never gives up. He's incessant. And then here's another one to understand the word importunity. Troublesomely urgent. Troublesomely, well, you got to say that in slow. Troublesomely urgent. And that's what this guy on the outside knocking on the door. It was troublesome to the one inside. He himself had trouble. He had a friend who came. His friend needed food. And here again, you know, travel back in those days, you know, we all know this. They don't stop at a restaurant along the way. At best, there's an inn, which is often combined with a tavern, but that assumes that they had the money to be able to go in there and buy the food. Or maybe it was just so long since the last in that all we know is this guy needed food. And because he had a good friend, you know, I can imagine saying if I had a friend come and I'd say, well, you know, I don't really have anything, but let me go next door to my neighbor and see if they have anything. Oh, you know, I'd say, oh, no, don't do that. You don't have to go over there and trouble them. I'll be all right. We can wait until morning. The fellow who was traveling, have said that? It depends on how hungry he was, okay? But that is what he did. And so we find this kind of persistence in prayer. Now I'm gonna seemingly switch to a different area of prayer, and that's in the Gospel of John. If you'll turn to John chapter 14, there's just three verses that I'm going to look at. John chapter 14. Now, chapter 14 is the beginning of it, is the familiar scriptures, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those first six verses are very, very familiar. But we're looking at verse 13, where we are told regarding the matter of prayer, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus is speaking, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, these three verses go together. There's a progression of thought and requirement. First of all, is the request is to God. The request is to me. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. The purpose in answering is for the Father to be glorified, not to gratify our desires. Okay? Not even just to meet our needs, though God will do that. And when you have needs, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking God to meet those needs. But even his meeting our needs is not just so our needs are met, but to glorify the Father. And that's very important for us to realize. There's been times where I have prayed for individuals, family members, sometimes for their salvation, sometimes, family members, Pat's improving greatly. She's doing much better. I'm working now at keeping her down, okay? I'm restricting her when I go to work. Don't do anything until I get home, because she's beginning to feel better. When you feel better, you start to do things. And I don't want her overdoing. And so she's doing better, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I had a talk with the Lord. I pray for her regarding the pain. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to just take the pain away so she doesn't have the pain. And I'm not preaching. I'm relaying what I talk. But I know, Father, that her relief of pain isn't the main thing, but that you would receive glory, that you would receive honor. And I'll tell you, in my humanity, it's very difficult to put him receiving glory ahead of her not having pain. You know, I hear her out like she made supper, and she didn't have this when she made lunch. As the day goes on, it changes. But I'll hear her out there working at the kitchen as she's working along. Okay? She's having pain, and she's instinctively responding to it. When I sat down for supper, I said to her, I said, I heard you out here. And then she just gave a sheepish grin. Do you want me to hear her? Okay, because previously it was that loud. And now, because it's not as bad, she's able to subdue it some. Roger Hain wants to see her pain relieved.
Amen.
You ask in my Father's name, why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if he's glorified answering that prayer, her pain's going to go. But I must keep the right priority and order, and that's not easy. Okay, we have to struggle with that sort of thing. But if we're going to pray scripturally, that's what it must be. And there may be times that you'll have to do what I did. I have a rocking chair in my office, and that's where I do most of my praying. And, you know, I'll sit there and I'll... just, you know, not out loud, but in my heart and mind, I'm saying, Lord, I know it's supposed to be for your glory, but you know how much it troubles me to hear her in pain. And so, Father, I want to obey you, but it's hard from this side. Now, he knows that.
Yes, sir.
And it's helpful to me to express that
right.
to him.
Yes, sir.
It's the purpose of glorifying the Father. Now, verse 14, it says there, if ye shall ask anything in my... And I'm not going to go into the anything, okay? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In my name. Today, at the end of the prayer, it is a very common thing when people pray, at the very end of it, they will express this thought with the words, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing to express. But personally, I don't believe that's what it means when it says pray in my name. I believe it means that as a Christian, we need to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to go to Christ and ask something from him, I have got to be in him. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, if you will, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is a position. That is a relationship that we have. There's many other scriptures. I looked up some of the key ones and will not take the time to turn to them, but Romans 8:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:2, and 1 Peter 5:14 all refer to that relationship of being in Christ. If you were to look up those two words in a search engine, in Christ, you would find unbelievable number of scriptures that use those two words. They don't always refer to the relationship that we have with Christ. But in this case, it is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so when I'm praying in the name of Jesus, I'm in the name of Jesus. I'm asking based on the fact that he is my Lord, and that I want the Father to receive glory through not only the things I ask, but the answers that he gives. As you know, I do cleaning at the Olean Public Library. There are four students, two older ones, and then two younger ones, who regularly come into the library about every other day, and they study. They study together. They're medical students. They're studying to get to become licensed practical nurses. And so I talked to them on Monday. I says, "Hey, said, you got any tests coming up soon?" And the one girl said, "Yeah, tomorrow and Wednesday." And I said, "Okay." I said, "If it's all right with you, I'm going to pray for you. You know, there aren't many people who say, no, don't pray for me. And, so, and they said, they appreciate that. Well, today I went to him and I asked him, I said, how did the tests go? The one young girl, she passed with an 89. The older lady and the older man. Now, we're talking with the fellow probably in his late 30s. The lady might be in her 40s. All right. So, you know, young, and everybody's younger almost, okay. And so they didn't make it. They've got to take it again. I said, wow. I said, I'm sorry about that. I said, apparently my prayers worked for her. I said, I'll keep praying. Now, I asked the Lord if he would indeed help them to pass it, that he can receive glory. That when they say, yeah, we passed it this time, I can say, well, praise the Lord, I prayed again. Now, they may not think to give God glory, but God may just be able to take that and use it in some manner. That's my desire. The young lady who passed the test, she wasn't around for, wow, it was near 2 weeks. So I finally went to them and I said, hey, I said, I haven't seen the young girl. And, oh, she's visiting her grandmother, I think it was. And she'll be getting back. And so next time they were in, I says, did she get back yet? I got to find her names. But anyway, she get back yet? No, she got back, but she's taking care of her parents' animals. They're still traveling. And so, you know, I'm trying to build some kind of rapport with them so that when there's opportunity, okay, that I can have an influence for Christ.
Amen.
And so being in Christ, I believe, refers to, now there's a lot of good Bible teachers who would say, no, that means asking in those words, in the name of Christ. But you see the next verse, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And then there's more that's said about keeping the commandments. And we all know that that's important, to keep the commandments. But you see how, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we're going to get the answers to prayer that we need, and that God's going to be glorified, we're going to have to keep his commandments. And so that's why I believe it's more than just saying the words in my name. I believe it involves the fact that we are living in the kind of relationship with him, and that we are obeying his commandments. And there are other scriptures that we could go to show that, but that'll suffice for tonight. So let's keep praying. I used to have a patch that I wore when I worked with teenagers. It was God and Son, in business with folks like you for 2,000 years. And the young people, they found that interesting. And but when you think about it, he's been in business with folks like us. Those people that first built this church building, they didn't have a parking problem because they pulled up here in either very small cars or horses. Okay, and so, but same problems, same needs, just different style of clothing and mode of transportation. And so, God is faithful. Father in heaven, I pray as we go to our prayer groups now that you will indeed meet the needs of those that we present to you so that you can be glorified.